Now, you said something about coal mines or salt mines last week. Wait, no, you said salt mines.
No, I actually meant salt mines, but I said coal mines, I think.
Have you ever been down in the coal mines of Copyblogger, Brian?
Yeah, I started them and I used to live there by myself, so.
Oh, you actually built them?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
that's right.
Of course.
I should have thought.
But the point being, you were busy.
Yeah.
In fact, you're still busy.
Oh, thanks for acknowledging that. I appreciate it.
Well, we were both so head down the whole month of January, which was, I mean, it just started off full speed that we haven't really looked around. And so this episode, we're looking around, seeing what's happening out there, and we're sharing that valuable news insight, specifically yours.
Yeah, we've got 5 articles that we're going to talk about this episode, a little bit different than we normally do, but we've done this before. And taking a look outside, a couple of these things apply directly to what we're doing, what I've been busy with, and
why
everyone has.
Yeah.
Which is coming, which I think by now you've said it a couple of times, but this we're building a podcast network, right?
Well, go ahead and just come out and say it in plain English. Wow.
Yeah.
I was going to have some more fun being stupidly vague, which is
drag it out a few more episodes.
Only fun for me.
Yeah. Well, a couple of these articles apply to that, but they will, of course, as always, apply to you out there, dear listener, as well. And then, Brian, you brought in a couple of interesting things that are related. But before we get into that, this episode of Rainmaker FM is brought to you by the Rainmaker platform. It's the complete website solution for content marketers and online entrepreneurs. Brian, we took a look with Mr. Garrett this week at one component of the Rainmaker curation suite, which was the RSS reader. What'd you think about that? That's coming soon, by the way, but what'd you think of the first look?
As pretty sweet. Also a new and improved set of podcasting tools, which you and I are also very excited about. So yeah, this release 2.2 should be out in February, and it's pretty exciting. It's the next level, and of course, it's even, we were already talking about how we could even make it better as we go forward. So there's never an end point for Rainmaker, but the cool thing is, depending on, you know, what package you end up in, and this is all standard package, you get the benefit of all those improvements over time, and you never have to upgrade anything. You don't have to touch anything. You don't even have to pay attention. They're just there when they're ready. And then, of course, we let you know so you can go play with them.
Yeah, and it was funny. On this call that we had, Chris Garrett was taking us through step by step what it looked like, what it does. And several times you said, hey, you know, it'd be cool. What I really want, and you were talking specifically about Further, is XYZ or this feature or that feature. And every time Garrett was like, yeah, it's coming. It's on the list. Don't worry about it. It's coming. So way ahead of us.
I just feel like I don't have anything to do anymore. They're already a step ahead of all of my demands now. Although I did have that one request that is key to publishing Further, and Nick built it that day and got it in the release, which that's just so awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if you don't have enough to do, hold on, let me bring up my list here. I'm happy to give you a couple items if you need a few things for this week. Is that what you're saying? Find out more about the Rainmaker platform, this curation suite that is coming, the podcast network feature that is coming, a lot of these things on the way. Find out more and take a free 14-day test drive at rainmakerplatform.com. Okay, so like we said, we've got 5 different articles here. I'm going to just jump right into these, Brian. First from Social Fresh over at socialfresh.com. Nick Cicero writes this article entitled The Rise of Podcasting, the Ultimate On-Demand Content. It's a great infographic. And this is a topic that is, I don't think you can get online without seeing somebody talking about the rise of podcasting. And, you know, everybody's talking about Serial and everybody's talking about how the massive wave of interest in podcasting that's going on. And that's fine. And this is a really basic article in a lot of ways, but there's some good numbers in here. And I think it's good to think about as content marketing, content creation, that podcasting is a, you should know by now, extremely viable way to build an audience. And we'll talk a little bit more about conversion later. But he goes over some basic stuff and a couple of really interesting highlights in this article. Number one says 80%, the focus of it generally is on mobile and the application of podcasting to mobile devices and people, you know, on the go with their mobile devices. He says 80% of the world's population owns a mobile phone. And that is, what breaks it down even further, one in every seven people on the planet. And this is back, by the way, I should say, it was written the end of November of 2014. So some of these numbers are going to be bumped up even further by now. Between 2009 and 2012, smartphone ownership almost tripled in the U.S. Nearly two of the 5 billion mobile phones worldwide are smartphones. He lays out these three benefits of podcasting. And these are things we've talked about before, too, that I think anyone listening to this, thinking about possibly starting a podcast, thinking about audio content really in any form, is to take a look at these three benefits and let them sink in. It's that you can listen. Number one, you can listen on demand. The audience can grab your content anytime they want, 24/7, which has been true of the internet for some time. But a lot of these tools related to podcasting, even more so as time goes on. And Brian, you and I have talked about, I've had this dream of the push button subscribe. When somebody invents the simple way to listen, and this is already, you can see this in cars. I heard somebody, I think it was an NPR by 2016, maybe it was 2017, they're talking about all automobiles, basically, new automobiles will come, you know, installed with easy access to podcasts. I don't know whether they're, you know, going to do a deal with iTunes. Obviously, there's CarPlay right now, but it's just going to become easier and easier because right now that barrier to entry for the normal person is a little tough. You got to get iTunes. Well, you got to subscribe. Then you got to download the episode.
No.
Oh, you're going to disagree.
Okay. Well, let's look at the evolution. The format was named after the iPod. Technically, and again, when you and I first met, that's what we talked about. We talked about podcasting. That was 2006. And yet, as we know, that year was the first VC-funded podcast network, that thing that Scoble was involved in. And then, of course, you had Adam Curry, the old MTV VJ, the Podfather, all of that stuff. Then the problem was it was too hard, you know, because you really did. When you have an iPod, it's smart. It's a music-holding receptacle. So it's funny that Apple, you know, we call it podcasting because of an Apple product, which is bizarre in itself, but it was another Apple product and its evolution, the iPhone, that really made it easier. And then ubiquitous Bluetooth, and then the podcasting app that Apple ships with everything now. So I do agree with you, it could be easier and it will become, but I think There was a huge intersection in the last really 4 years, but really last year, of easier for most people, maybe not my mom, but non-73-year-olds, and content. There was content that people wanted to listen to. And before Serial and before Startup and all that, it was the comedians, really, that drove the adoption. Adam Carolla, Joe Rogan, all of those guys, Mark, what's his name?
Maron.
Me? Maron, yeah. Those shows became big because they're entertaining to listen to. So I agree that it will become even easier, but I think the tipping point happened.
Yeah, no, I would definitely agree with that, but there still is that reach, and maybe it's just a thing of, you know, the 73-year-olds, and certainly there's many of them that do, and it's no problem getting podcasts and subscribing. You reach out and you touch a button on your radio and it's on. And, you know, you tune it and you do this and that, but basically it's a one button thing.
What's
compare
a radio?
That to what? Yeah, right? Right? And you and I are
the kids are like, Dad, play that song again. Like, I can't. It's the radio. What? What's wrong with you, old man?
Yeah.
You know?
Right. Right. When it becomes that easy for this stuff, for on-demand content, that's what I'm talking about. And it will. I'm convinced that it will.
So. Well, and I think even beyond the ease or relative easier ness of accessing podcasts, it's the on-demand thing. Like when podcasting first kind of emerged again back 2005, 2006, we didn't have, well, was Netflix around then? I don't remember. But the whole concept of on-demand and binge watching or listening, you've seen a huge shift in consumption preference among people to where they're like my kids who don't understand broadcast technology that's not on demand. Now, I think just people like you and I expect to be able to have it on demand. Everything from, I mean, I have cable so I can watch the on-demand versions of movies and shows because I don't have time to be at a certain place at a certain time because you decide to put something on, with the exception of sports, right?
Yeah. No, this is huge because – and Tony brought up Person of Interest, which is a show on CBS that a couple of years ago I tried and then it just kind of fell away. But he and Garrett have been talking about this Person of Interest show for a long time.
Yeah.
And I thought, hey, I'm going to try this again. And CBS in particular, I don't know all the details and all this, but maybe it's available on Hulu or Hulu Plus, but they are famously one of the networks that has not joined kind of everyone else in this idea of doing deals with Netflix or doing deals, I think, even with Amazon for purchasing episodes. So you go to the CBS website. And when I, at a glance, this could be, you know, a little bit off, but at a glance, it was the last season of Person of Interest was available on CBS.com. I didn't really have an interest in watching it there. Plus, you know, I wanted to catch up with season two. Of course, there's going to be ways to get it, but they don't make it easy.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, I think I was just, Jared was tweeting about Better Call Saul, the Breaking Bad spinoff show, and it turns out it sounds like it's going to be solid, which gives everyone a collective sigh of relief. But I think I call it the Breaking Bad moment when things changed. It seemed like everyone you knew was catching up on Breaking Bad, trying to get there before either the final season started or at least before the final episode, right? And it was like, again, other than sporting events, that's really the last collective media thing that I felt I shared with a ton of people. Now, compared to the old days, you know, the 70s and 80s, when everyone watched The Cosby Show or All in the Family, we're never going back there.
Yep.
But Breaking Bad was an on-demand transitional moment where everyone, it seemed, was desperately trying to get caught up so that they could watch the last season and then the last episode in real time.
And AMC is an example of a network. These guys are forward thinking, whoever they are, that, you know, they're doing the deal with Netflix. They're doing the deals with Amazon. It's easy to get, you know, in this on-demand kind of philosophy. So we could talk about this for about 10 years straight, I think. But number one in his three benefits of podcasting, there's a lot here, this idea of on-demand for the audience.
On-demand and mobile, I don't want to steal the thunder, but I can tell you why audio is.
And let's
go ahead.
We'll cover it and then we'll talk more. But number two, you can customize your content. This is related to on-demand to me anyway, but you select the exact shows and the exact episodes that you want. You're not stuck to a network schedule like
it's
in 1986.
Playlist.
Right.
Yeah.
And if, you know, one show comes up that you don't like, I do this all the time. I delete it and I go looking for something else. Exactly. The playlist is the way to look at it. And number three in Mr. Cicero's three benefits of podcasting here is that they are portable and free.
Yes.
Free.
That's the key. Yes.
Yep. You can take this anywhere, on a walk with your dog, in the car.
Well, it doesn't require ocular attention to say you don't have to look at it. I mean, video, as popular as it is, you still have to look at it. The whole internet, you know, the valuations of BuzzFeed and a lot of these text heavy, you know, and they're shifting now. I mean, every time I go over the Huffington Post, it's like they're doing a video thing now.
Yep.
So they're shifting, and yet it's the audio content that's portable anywhere. And from an educational standpoint, from a productivity standpoint, the fact that you can learn something or ingest some information or just be entertained while you're driving the car, walking the dog, working out at the gym, doing something else, you have it on in the background. I mean, hey, it's radio, but it's better than radio.
Yep. And we'll touch on the free and advertising and revenue model thing in just a second. But in the interest of moving this along, a couple of more really interesting numbers. Nearly one in three, as of November 2014, nearly one in three Americans have listened to a podcast. That is astounding. 15% of Americans have listened to a podcast in the past month. And this is, again, November 2014. Apple just surpassed 1 billion subscriptions. That's billion with a B. To podcast via the iTunes app. So via other apps, that could be a much larger number. And then a couple other numbers here. But those are 1 in 3 Americans has already listened to a podcast. Even with these barriers to technological barriers to entry that we talked about before, already 1 in 3 have listened. And then the 1 billion subscriptions number is just astounding to me. So, you know, in one sense, this is stuff that a lot of you have already heard. But it's good to kind of take a moment and, you know, look at the reasons, some of the reasons why I think we're doing this and, you know, why you should seriously consider doing it for your business. Anything else on this, Brian, before we move on to the next article?
No, I want to, yeah. So looping full circle back to the failure of podcast networks and in the early days, and now they're the darling. I find that to be, from a business standpoint, that's what gets my brain in gear.
Well, here's the thing. And this next article is from Fast Company. Rebecca Greenfield wrote this nice little piece about the surprisingly profitable rise of podcast networks. And what you just said to me is kind of the cornerstone of this idea that even now, even though these podcast networks are rising, people are still asking the same questions, and they're still locked into this idea that it has to be ad supported or venture backed, as you know, we see with Alex Blumberg and Gimlet Media. But that's not the case, and it's not how we're going to do it, by the way.
Well, but at the same time, audio ads, at least of the direct response variety, where you're telling someone to go do something now, or giving them a phone number or a URL or something, those work. We've known that before anything about podcasting. So even with an advertising model, I think the brands and the advertisers are saying, yes, sign me up. I was talking to John Jantz of Duct Tape Marketing. And, you know, he just fired back up his podcast recently, but he said he's getting interest from all sorts of major brands to advertise on his podcast, you know, and he's not serial or, you know, even startup. But I think it's because it works. And when you look at online advertising, which doesn't, right? I mean, video advertising pre-rolls generally work. I don't know what the latest data is, but if you make it through the ad, that's sufficient for people to do that. But again, you've got this entire realm of portable on-demand content that's mobile. It's moving around, and it could be walking down the street, and you could probably geo-target some really precise advertising. I mean, there's a lot of future in advertising on podcasts, and that's how it always works online. It's always advertising. You know that. I mean, even I, 16 years ago, started off with that in my head. But what about a podcast network used for content marketing? I mean, we see people doing it. But it's funny to me that even our friends in the content marketing space, like Joe and Robert over at CMI and Jay Baer, just launched a third show. They are going for sponsors, right?
Yep.
It's ironic. Yep. So what if you launched a podcast network from a purely content marketing space, meaning you're your own advertiser? And what if what was being advertised is the very platform that the podcast network is built on?
Yeah. Or if you're in another space, it's content marketing for your other type of product or service, of course, whatever it is
especially
that you do.
Services, right?
Service is huge, right?
Yeah.
Ms. Greenfield, this is interesting. In the middle of this article, it's a great read. She talks about kind of the struggles that startup and Blumberg are having, you know, reconciling some of this stuff. And as he famously does on his show, which we talked about earlier. But in the middle here, she says podcast ads, and this is quote, podcast ads generate ridiculous levels of engagement. Internal mid-roll surveys of 300,000 listeners found that 63% of people bought something a host had peddled on his show. Because of that leverage, mid-roll charges a lot, actually, for podcast ads, says Sack. So Midroll is a podcast advertising company, but that's 63%, as you said, as you started this conversation with, the engagement level there really is fairly insane.
It is, because, I mean, the old Paul Harvey, he was the master, but it sounded like he was talking to you, not pitching you something. There's some guys on ESPN radio that are great at it. Colin Coward is a guy there. He's got great style. My wife actually listens to ESPN radio, not me, believe it or not. I'm not kidding. But yeah, I kind of got hooked because I'm so interested in audio and presentation style and, yeah, voice, cadence, all this stuff. So I started listening to Colin Coward because of his delivery. He has a very deliberate, like he'll take these very deliberate pauses, and yet he's a complete pro in his delivery and is pretty amazing. But then he'll just launch seamlessly into a Paul Harvey. And you're like, wow, I just listened to an ad and I didn't mind it.
And that's the thing. It's not like, again, you mentioned earlier, we're not flying blind here. We've got decades and decades and decades of actual real world cases to look at and learn from Paul Harvey to the giants of talk radio, you know, these days and in decades past. None of this, you know, is new. The medium itself may be new-ish, even though 15 years old, but all of those concepts carry forward. And yeah, you need to talk to your audience. You need to think about how you present this stuff to your specific audience. But if you're getting engagement like 63% for advertising, think about, back to your point, Brian, think about if you did this in terms of content marketing for your own business, your own products and your own services.
Well, just generally speaking, the thing I figured out in 1999 is you'll make more money if you have something to sell other than advertising. And, you know, for businesses trying to create content, let's segue a little into something I found interesting and related in that, okay, maybe let's start a podcast network. How are we going to do it? And I don't mean by we, I mean that in the general sense, but also us in that what we've been working on for the last couple of months. But Jay Baer wrote an article about EGC, employee generated content. So we've all heard of user generated content, which Facebook, Twitter, you know, all the social networks built themselves off of. But now it's tapping internal resources, internal voices. They know the products and services. They know the customers, you would hope. And instead of sequestering them away from public, which is traditional enterprise thinking, because, oh my gosh, they may say something real. instead, the trend is you got to let those voices out. And what better than a podcast and or multiple podcasts? And really, that's the premise upon which our upcoming podcast network is built. We've got a lot of smart people in this company. They're internet celebrities in their own right. Brian Gardner, Chris Garrett, Pamela Wilson, Sonia Simone, Jared Morris, Damien. I mean, so for us, yeah, that's an obvious place to start.
Yeah, and it's big because, for instance, not only expertise in terms of, you know, reaching into your own company and finding people that to do this, but it's expertise, but it's also personality. So for instance, a lot of these shows are going to be covering things. They're all going to be related to what we do and what we talk about generally, but some of them are going to, you know, go to the outer reaches of things that you and I, for instance, would never talk about. So for instance, we were just talking to Chris Garrett and Tony Clark, and they're going to do this nerd fest of, you know, the intersection of marketing and technology, and they're going to bring their sensibility to it and their expertise with these tools and how to apply them to, you know, real world marketing stuff and conversion and split testing and data, things that, you know, you and I touch on all the time, but particularly as it relates to nerdery in general, you and I'd never go there. We'd be, you know, laughed out of the room if we tried.
Well, it's just not our thing.
Yeah, right.
But you and I are media nerds, and we just talked about Breaking Bad, and we'll probably drop a reference to The Wire by the end of this. So,
right.
To each his own. But yeah, it's letting people be themselves because that's what the appeal is. And out of 8 to 15 shows that we've got in production, who knows what the breakouts will be. We have some guesses, but they could be completely wrong because you just never know. And that's what's fun about this to me. I haven't felt this much giddy anticipation since the early days of Copyblogger, when I would write on a topic I'd never written before and wonder whether it was going to be a hit or not. You know, that's fun.
Jay makes one great point here. You can read the article, obviously, and I'll have all of these, of course, linked up in the show notes. But under his four tips for harnessing the EGC in your company. Number one, he says, you are Simon Cowell. Make them American Idol. And really, this goes back to the old thing we've been talking about for years, the production company.
Yes. Yep,
it's a good way to look at it. It's a good metaphor.
And we are acting as Simon Cowell because we've already told people that if their numbers don't fly, they're cut.
Yeah, right. I mean, it is something, and we'll talk more about this as time goes on, but you got to be, you know, we've got some leeway because we got the servers in our case. But if you're paying, you know, in another situation where you got to make those decisions. Adam Carolla tells a great story. This was, I think, last year. His dad started a show on his network, and it was great and things were going well, but it was just kind of flatlined after, I don't know, whatever number of months or a year. And he fired his dad. He canceled the show because he's like, I got server costs. I got to pay for this stuff. This isn't a hobby.
That's so awesome.
Okay. So the last one, this is also one that you found from Sensei Marketing, Sam Fiorella. Nice headline here. Social media has killed consumer trust. What's he talking about here?
Well, I think it's, you know, marketers screw it up for everyone, you know, and I'm not ashamed to say that as one, because they do. And I wouldn't say it's our particular breed of marketing trying to put value and useful content first, which has worked out great for us. But, you know, it's just the shortcut mentality and the propensity, I think, in virtual environments to AstroTurf stuff, which means, you know, it's just the shortcut mentality and the propensity, I think, in virtual environments to AstroTurf stuff, which means, you know, fake influence, fake social proof, fake endorsements, compensated endorsements without disclosure. But yeah, it's like the point of the article is basically that no one trusts what anyone says online or on their Twitter account or whatever, because everyone thinks everyone is on the take. So this, you know, article could be read as, well, the party's over, but no, it's always been this way, which is why we say demonstrate authority, don't claim it. And that can be interpreted in a broader sense, but let me give you a great example. Everyone just threw a fit when we deleted our Facebook page. And one guy, John Loomer, I think, said, well, it looks like Facebook's your second biggest source of traffic. You're going to lose all that. Wrong. You know where our Facebook traffic comes from? Other people sharing our content on Facebook. Yep. Us sharing it on a Facebook page because of the algorithm or what have you did nothing. So instead of us doing the promoting of our content, we put it out there. And it's the people who share it that get the traction and send us the traffic. So the ultimate point of this article is that people will only go back to trusting people they actually know and what they have to say. But what does content marketing accomplish, Robert? It gives you a legion of real people who share and recommend to other real people. And that's been the point all along. So that's why we lead with content instead of, you know, some BS influencer marketing play where we're paying off Kim Kardashian to say nice things about Rainmaker. I mean, not that that would work anyway. What do you think about this, Robert?
Yeah, he makes a note under the subhead of the same thing as his headline. He says, clearly the pendulum has swung back to traditional word of mouth and away from, quote, the wisdom of the crowds. The wisdom of the crowds is a whole nother thing, but I think it's right.
He mixes some metaphors there.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But I think it's as simple and complicated as the first word in social media, which is social. You know, thinking about things like how would you treat your customers in a real world situation? How do you treat your friends? How do you treat your family? It's, you know, these are social relationships. And that's, though different, a little bit different, of course, when applied to business, it's relatively the same thing. You treat them as good as you can, as well as you're able. You treat them with respect. And you give them what they are asking for as far as you're able. So in one sense, it's really simple that way.
Yeah, and I think it ties back into what we've been talking about with the power of podcasting because of the ability to hear someone's actual voice and yep. get clues that you don't get from text and things like that. The warmth of podcasting, I've heard it called. But it's a real person, you know, hopefully sharing real valuable information that gets, you know, and again, some of the podcasters have the most loyal audience that anyone's ever seen. And it's kind of amazing. So it's content that gets distribution. And you did promise 5 articles. So we're going to touch on that topic real quick right at the end. But content gets distributed, which leads to trust in the content brand and the authors of that content. You know, Google may have killed authorship, but the fundamental principle of it is sound. People want to hear from people, and they want to feel that it's an authentic exchange as opposed to trying to figure out what the motive is. So as opposed to objective journalism, content marketing is inherently biased, and you should just be loud and proud about that because at least I know where you're coming from and you're not pretending to not be a human being who we all have biases one way or another, whether we're even aware of them.
All right. Yeah. Last one. Let's touch on this really quick. This is super simple, but I like it. Throws a little salt into the stew. Gary Vaynerchuk writes this great article, How to Scale Your Content After Your Numbers, quote unquote, Peak. And he goes through a little bit of an intro here, but his answer to this is distribution, which, of course,
this is what social media is for. I mean, yes, conversation, yes, customer support by necessity because people use it that way. But for content producers, social media is distribution. But Gary has a couple of answers here that kind of echo what we've been saying on this show, but for years.
Yeah. How do you get that distribution? Things are going well, maybe, but it's just kind of flatlining, and two really simple answers that are both related. We've talked over and over again about guest posting and writing guest articles for other sites related to your thing, related to your audience, borrowing another site's audience. But one little tweak here, Gary says, you reach out to the top 100 podcasts that you can get on and promote the show. Meaning your show, if you've got a podcast. The same applies for your website, whatever it is you're doing online. But this idea of, it's a simple idea, and it's been around forever, media tours, all of this. Contact the top 100 or the top 50 or the top 25 podcasts related to your thing and become an interviewee on those shows, you know, depending on what they're doing. Yeah, are you going to get on all of them? Absolutely not. If you build a relationship with these show hosts over time, your chances are better. If you're doing great stuff, your chances are even better. But as a way for those who can't maybe see doing guest writing a ton of articles as a way to getting the word out in distribution for your own thing, becoming an interviewee, getting onto other podcasts is a great way to do it, to tell your story that way for all the reasons that we just talked about, not least of which what Brian mentioned as people hearing you, hearing your actual voice.
Well, the interesting thing for this is, you know, we've been talking the last few episodes about curation and tied to my new email newsletter further. And I have yet to do any guest posting. I'm really too busy to even think about it. And yet, something odd happened because, you know, I go on other podcasts and do interviews and whatnot. And something I hadn't factored in is that everyone wants to talk to me, at least in part, about Further. And so we talk about it, and then there's the link in the show notes. And I'm like, wow, that's pretty cool. That's not my main goal here. My day job is the main goal here, you know, promoting Rainmaker, talking about Copyblogger, talking about content marketing. But yeah, that's been a nice thing. And then, of course, AWeber did a nice write-up about the Rainmaker platform and the integration with their email service. And Hunter Boyle mentioned further as an example. Then the people over at Buffer added it to a list of curated email newsletters. So some of this, I'm fortunate that people already know who I am, but it is a nice kind of thing in that when you do go do an interview, people want to know what you're working on. If you can add value to someone else's show, because who isn't looking for guests, you know?
Just like a blog looking for articles.
You just have to focus on what's in it for them. I'm always reminded that Seth Godin and Hugh McLeod, I don't remember who said it first, but you know, it was basically no one's going to link to you if there's not something in it for them. It's the same thing. You know, what's in it for them to have you on the show? What value can you bring to their audience? If you can figure that out, I bet you're going to be more successful getting on shows than you think you are.
Yeah. And you may be thinking, yeah, well, no shit, guys. This is obvious. And it is obvious. But think about this. 25 years ago, you needed a publicist and an agent to get on to, you know, bigger television or radio shows. That middleman was always there that you either needed to pay or build a relationship with over a long period of time. Now you can go direct to these people who have massive audiences in some cases. And, you know, it doesn't even matter, even if it's a smaller audience for a podcast, getting on their show, delivering value, like Brian said, it's an amazing opportunity. So as simple as it may seem, don't discount it.
Yeah. And another thing that I want to say is, you know, if you're sick of hearing about guest posting and outreach and relationships and all that, you know, you're looking for the latest silver bullet.
Yeah, right.
Wake up. There is not one. And if you are complaining that you've heard this all before and you're not doing it, come on now.
I'm going to leave it at that because I can't think of any better way to close this episode than with that advice. Listen, if you like what we're doing here at Rainmaker FM, would you do us a favor? There's one thing that matters to a podcast right now. There's lots of things, but one of the main things that matters to a podcast right now these days is getting ratings, comments, and downloads in iTunes. Please let us know if you like what's going on here. Head over to iTunes, give us a comment or a rating there. It's very much appreciated. And if you want to get everything that we do, including what's coming, head over to rainmaker.fm and you'll see right under the header, there's a headline and a tagline and a green button. Click that green button, sign up by email. You'll get all of our episodes as soon as they're published, and you'll also get instant access to our free 10-part marketing course that will likely change the way you think about online marketing. Thanks for listening, everybody, as always. And Brian, thanks for bringing your wisdom to these 5 articles that we covered. I'll see you next week. Well, no, I won't see you next week. Maybe.
Maybe. Back to the salt mines with you.
Great. Here we go.